This is Variety Shanavir for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Well, this is the end of the year of 2023, and I'm very excited to be going into 2024 with you all. And I just want to say thank you to all of my listenerships all around the world. I received a lot of my SEOs and my analytics today, and it brought me to tears because there were so many people that were listening to me that I was just totally surprised that I have been able to have an impact on a variety of societies and communities globally. And when I received the email yesterday, how does it feel to go global and to be heard globally? I really didn't really feel that it really had a strong impact on me until this morning when I saw the actual stats. And when I saw the actual stats, I was like, oh my goodness, the stats are now from just the different countries that have the listenerships, but where they're listening at in these different countries and through the different cities and different organizations and businesses and companies that are listening to my podcast, Akashi Media Podcast Live. I'm just so thrilled and so excited, and it just touched me so much this morning that I just cried. I cried for like a half an hour. I was just stunned at these numbers. And I was just lost for words, really. And I am so grateful and thankful to use Spotify and Amazon Music and Podbean and just everyone, iHeartRadio, just everyone who allows my podcast to be distributed. I am so grateful and thankful for you all for allowing me to have a podcast to be heard globally and to establish relationships through my voice. And I've always loved to talk, and I have had a career in radio broadcasting, and I went to school for broadcasting and radio for my career choice back in the early 80s and 90s, and I was a news reporter in Grand Rapids, Michigan. And then after that, I went back to Detroit, Michigan, and I became a radio personality DJ as well in Detroit. So I do have a background in the field of radio broadcasting. And I always loved the field in radio broadcasting and film and cinema. So I like to go back and forth, and I did that quite a bit. But now I have a podcast, and I've been doing my podcast for going on 4 years now. So I'm really excited about it, and I'm just really grateful about it. I want to improve on my topics, and I would like to improve on a lot of things now that Spotify and other platforms allow us to have videos. I'm going to be doing more videos and things like that to be seen, not just to be heard as well. And that's about it for right now. You know, I want everyone to have a happy new year, 2024, and bring in your new year with a great celebration of life. And also, I just want to say thank you to Ukraine. Those people that were over in Ukraine were listening to my podcast, and they had me on there for 100%. That really, really choked me up because these people were in war listening to Akashi Media Podcast Live. That really touched me so much to know that people were in war. People were dying. People were trying to survive. No one over here in America knew what was going on. We didn't even know why you all were in war, what the war was about, what was it for. Even the people that were from Ukraine were like, why is this going on? No one knew why this was going on. I don't even understand war. I don't even understand the war right now with the Hamas. Why are we having this? Why is it going on? People are just like stunned to feel like that every time a president come in office, except for Trump. Trump didn't have a war. He did bring in a lot of money to us. But We just can't understand why does it always have to be someone have to feel like they have to have a war when they're in office. That's just what it seems like. It seems like you just pick a country to have a war with. That's what it seems like. I don't know what's going on, but we need some world peace around the world. That's what we need. We need world peace, period. You know, babies are born every day, and babies don't ask to be born. Babies don't ask to come into this world. You know, I saw a video on social media where a baby was actually born full term as a stillborn baby, but the doctor kept waking up this baby, trying to wake this baby up and turn this baby over and give this baby resuscitation. And it finally worked after maybe 45 minutes of trying to bring this child to life. This child kept coming in and out and didn't want to live. But I told my daughter one time that unborn children can feel what's going on the outside. I remember when I was inside my mother's womb, I could hear her crying all the time. And I felt myself having a tear fall down my face on the left-hand side. So an unborn baby can feel what goes on, you know, when they're coming into the world. And when I came into the world, I felt myself leaving this warm space, going into this cold air. And the cold air made me cry because it was so cold. You know, and but I also felt the change of sadness to happiness as well. So that was a great thing to feel and to know that I brought some happiness to my mother's life and being this newborn child, you know. So, you know, people, there are so many people out here who can't have children. There are people out here who want to have children, have a hard time having children. And, you know, a child creates a family. You know, a child can be your blessing. You know, it's not always difficult to raise a child on your own. I was a single parent. And sometimes it is cool to just raise a child on your own. It's not so hard. It's just you have to always have a daily plan every single day for things to be successful for yourself and your child. You have to plan every single day. There's always a plan for something every day. Family is business. Family business is just business, period, you know. And the child can't survive without, you know, things in place. A child depends on the parents, so you always come first. A lot of people say always put your children first, but you can't always put your children first. You have to put yourself first because the children rely on you, you know, so you have to come first and everything. You have to make sure that you have everything together with yourself and, you know, you have your health together and your happiness together, your money together, the things that you want for yourself. You know, you can't always as a parent go without and just give to your kids. You have to take care of yourself first. And one thing that I realize with parents when our children become adults that I always notice is that a parent should always stay, if they can, as much as possible, stay financially secure no matter how successful your child gets. Because sometimes our children look at us like, oh, my parent is not as successful as I am financially. And they'll look down at you when they're financially successful. So when you are doing well as a parent, financially successful, you keep that respect there. You keep that level of respect there when you don't need them for anything like that. Because you show them that you can do you can take care of you, and you can stay financially afloat without them. You know what I mean? Because it was you who brought them into the world. It was you who made them and carried them, you know? So, and it's cool as well too for a child to also want to take care of their parent and do nice things for their parent and so on and so forth. But I always just noticed and always felt that when you stay successful financially, your children don't look down at you. They always seem to praise you and they don't look down at you. But there are some kids that when they get successful, they look down at their parents financially and don't want to help them and do anything for them, you know. So I just wanted to say that. Speaking of money, I saw the Taraji Henson interview where she was being interviewed and she's in the color purple. And some people feel like, who saw the first color purple, feel like they didn't need to do another color purple. And they said they could have just left it the way that it was. With everything that's going on right now with pay and things like that, they probably should have. You know, but she's talking about how she wasn't paid well and things like that. Well, I see it as two sides myself. I see it as, number one, something is just off with the whole thing with her payments. She said that every time she works, she's giving up 50% somewhere. 50% is being taken. And I don't understand that, because most agencies or personal managers only supposed to take 20%. It's anywhere between 5 to 20%, 25% the maximum, but 20%. I don't know who she's giving the other 30% to. She's saying she's giving 30% more to some other area or whatever, and she's always getting like less, and that just doesn't make sense. And her contract should be different each time that she works. It sounds like she has the same continuous contract every time she works, because she keeps saying that she's giving 50%, and that doesn't sound right, because each production is different. Each production, I'm sure, has a different pay. Why is she giving 50%? And then she says something about having a staff. Why do you have a staff as an actress? You shouldn't have no staff. The production pays for the staff. Why are you paying for the staff? Why are you coming in with a staff of people when the production already have, it's staffed already? They already have makeup artists. They already have wardrobe people. Why do you have to come in with your own staff of wardrobe people, makeup people? That doesn't make sense. You only do those type of things when you get a writer request. When you have a writer is when they put in a request and say, these are certain things that I would like to have. Like, you want to have certain foods. Like, Janet Jackson was on a diet when she was working with Tyler Perry, and she had her food flown in because she was on a certain diet. You know, Will Smith was working on a movie, and he had to have a big trailer for himself so he can work out and exercise and things like that. Those are writers. Those are things that are requests that actresses or actors can have, you know, when they have a name. And that's how that works. You don't have to come in and have a separate staff from the budget that's already with the film. That doesn't make sense. Why would you even do anything like that? You know, so basically, that's her fault if she's doing that, to have a secondary staff on set. That doesn't make any sense. Why do you have a secondary staff for? That's nonsense. So get rid of the staff then. If you're not making any money, get rid of the staff and deal with the production staff and just use the writer. You know? And the other thing is, as far as the pay goes, usually, normally, in any case, everyone knows how much the budget is going to be for the movie. So if you have a personal manager or an attorney, entertainment attorney, or talent agency or talent agent or whatever, and they're being reached out to for you, the actor, there's usually, the first thing that's done is a letter of interest. A letter of interest is sent out from the production company, film production company, to say, hey, I would like to work with this artist, and our budget is this amount of money, and this is what the role is going to be, and this is what we're going to pay. If you're a big name star, you can say yay or nay. Your management team is supposed to come back to you and say, hey, this pay is this amount of money. Do you want to do this movie? You can agree or disagree. You can say, hey, okay, I'm Taraji. I'm a nominated Oscar nominated actress. And the pay is a little low for me. I would like more. Can we negotiate? And if there can't be a negotiation, then you walk. That's what most people do. Either you want to do the movie or you don't want to do the movie, or it's enough money or it's not enough money. There are a lot of actors who have walked away from films with $40 million offers on the table and they said no to it. Some people regret walking away, some do not. Even with music videos, there are actors who wouldn't want to do a music video and they walked away from that. So, Taraji have an option to walk away and just disagree from the beginning before you even get into production. I don't understand why that wasn't done. That's just how it works, usually. You know, like if you're a writer, looking to have your movie to be produced and you're looking for an investor, if you go on Inktip, and that's Inktip.com, Inktip, you go on to Inktip, Inktip tells you right off the bat what the investor is looking for. They will tell you we're looking for a certain type of movie. We're willing to invest this amount of money right off the bat. No sugarcoat. And we're going to do the deal directly with the writer. No middleman. Or no middle person involved. It's the deal between the writer and the investor. You know, and you can do option outs, so on and so forth. And they tell you exactly what they're looking for. Same thing. It's up front. So I don't understand why she's working like she doesn't know what her pay is going to be. Like if I do a TV series and it's successful, okay, after 6 months I'd like to start making more money if I'm bringing in so much money. I mean, there are things that happen, but let me explain something about film. If an actor wants to make more money, what they need to do is, if they want to have control and make more money, is to invest in the production. If you invest in the production and you believe in the production that you're going to do, then you put your money into it. Then you really can say, oh, okay, I'm bringing in some clout. You know, so that's how that can work. Become an investor, actor. It's just, I don't know. There are a lot of people who, some people just say, you know, they're in it for the money. Some people are saying, I just love what I do. Sometimes money doesn't matter to some of these people as well. You know, but in a case like this, I just feel that Taraji needs to renegotiate her staff. She needs to get rid of her staff, and she's losing money and not gaining money. If she really wants to be a power player in this business, she needs to invest in productions. Because see, Oprah Winfrey and Tyler Perry, just a name, and Will Smith, just to name a few of our African-American power players in the industry. These people are African-American power players. They're entrepreneurs. They're employers. They're producers. They're business owners, executive producers, the writers, green lighters, negotiators, and they also, including Spike Lee, have used their own money to get their productions up and running. Oprah Winfrey started out as a news reporter. Then she moved on and did the Oprah Winfrey Show for many years. Tyler Perry used to be a homeless man working on getting his career going with plays. Spike Lee used his own credit cards to do his film. And also, an investment was made by his grandmother. So, it takes time to build capital in a business relationship with people. And all of these producers, executive producers and business owners and entrepreneurs, each and every one of them own their own production companies. They have a tight unit between them because they're able to hire us. Whether they have a name or no name or the next big name to come. You know, they have paid the price for those coming behind them, too. You know, I was born small myself, 4 pounds and 13 ounces. Small but mighty. A small fish can also take over a giant. It happens all the time. And sometimes people want to see if a person will react to a situation, how they will react to it. Because it just might be something bigger out there that they're looking at. But they want to see what their attitude would be like first. You know. So, I don't know. I know Lee Daniels. I met Lee Daniels many times before when I used to live in Detroit. You know, so I'm familiar with Lee Daniels as well. You know, but whenever you're an actress and you just feel like you are not being paid what you want to be paid, sometimes you just have to work really more hard on negotiation. You know, Sharon Stone, and it's not just about color, because Sharon Stone said she was only paid $500,000 to do Basic Instinct, and that was a badass movie. She was just tremendous in Basic Instinct. She instantly became one of my favorite actresses. Sharon Stone. That was just a deep ass murder mystery movie. That movie was well written. It was good. It was really good. But it also has some derivative work from the from Michael, from George Michael's music videos, though. But other than that, it was a great film. Basic Instinct has been one of my greatest films to watch. Basic Instinct 1 and 2, actually. And she says she only made $500,000 and Michael Douglas made like $40 million or something like that, or $20 million. And she was going through a divorce and she lost her son, her children, because she had a sex scene in the movie. And they used that against her in court, like she was doing porn, you know, and she was heartbroken. You know, so Taraji's not the only one who's underpaid. I really thought that Sharon Stone, Sharon Stone said, I was a nobody, though. I was a nobody coming on to Basic Instinct. I didn't even have a name. I was a nobody. I was a newcomer. Up against with this big giant actor, you know. But he made 20 and I made 500,000. So look at that situation too. You know, she was a sex pot in the movie. You know, but hey, $500,000, she played the role though. She was excellent. She should have gotten an Oscar, if you ask me. You know. And she's been trying to make her own movies as well. Sometimes you have to start a network. You know. And work with each other. Sometimes you have to do that. I've worked in many different areas of filmmaking. I've worked as a camera loader, load cameras for 90 days for like $350 per day. I've been a background actor. And each time I did background acting, you know, we always would get together and exchange phone numbers with other actors or whatever. Sometimes people, you know, let you know the next shoot or production they're trying to go to. Sometimes they don't, because of competition, even on that level, as a background actor. But me working as a background actor was how I got a chance to also meet my producer, who helped me get my first two movies done, Shut It Off and Booty Call. I met Tekashi Buford. Tekashi Buford was the producer for House Party. I was a background actor on House Party. So I went from being a background actor, you know, I was already a writer and I was a film student at UCLA Extension. And my films, Booty Call and Set It Off, were classroom assignments. I had to pitch studios, and I just so happened to run into Tekashi Buford in West Hollywood, across the street from my house. And I believe in striking conversations with people. You never know who you're going to meet. I struck a conversation with him. We started talking. And he was like, you know, I produce House Party. I said, I did background for House Party. Really? We just started chatting, and he said, hey, you know, I said, well, I go to UCLA. I'm working at MJJ Productions as well, and publicity. And, you know, at school, you know, I have two assignments. I have to pitch studios. My instructor told me to go with New Line Cinema because they were a new urban production company. He said, oh, wow, you know. I told him a little bit what the movie was about, and he was interested. He said, I can get you funding for that. I said, all right, the rest is history. He kept his word, came over to my house with a $9 million check. I'm like, wow. You know, I came to California in 1993. I was here a year for my residency for 94 to make myself a California resident. Started film school in 95. Set It Off and Booty Call was released 96, 97. Sometimes you have to talk to people. Just say hello, good morning, how you doing? Give a compliment. Don't be a stuck up. Don't ego trip all the time. Stay humble. Even though I heard Tekashi had an ego on the set. You know, I remember him saying, do you have anything else in that little head of yours? Oh my God. I was like, oh, more stories, huh? Oh my goodness. I saw us becoming lifetime writing partners. Oh boy. But so I've been in different areas of filmmaking. I also have been a boom operator. I have been a camera operator. I do editing. I do sound and mixing. And when you do these type of jobs, you have to be ready and have your own equipment. Even though it's a film production company, sometimes these film production companies are high budget, sometimes they're low budget. You know? And there are people who want to work too. You know, they want to work for the credit, experience, so on and so forth, you know. And it's always good to have your own equipment. If you're going to be doing mixing music, you have to have your own mixing board. Have your own mixing board, headphones, your cart, have everything ready. Your microphones, everything. Even though if they have their own equipment, it's always good to have more because you might have better equipment. It's called freelancing, contracting. You know, and then you put that on your resume, what kind of equipment you own and have, you know. It's very helpful. Very helpful. And it's something that needs to be done. You know. So, you know, I've worked with many different cameras. Ikigami, Aeroflex, Red, digital, regular cameras like even Fuji. I've worked with many different cameras, Nikon, you name it, Canon, you know, black and white, 8mm, you know, so it's a learning process to learn all this stuff. Everything is not overnight, and it's practice, 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 too. You know, I've done editing. Old school editing, when they used to just do it with the splicing, with the tape. Now we just do it where it's digital. And it's easier to do it digital. It's a lot more fun. But the old school way is splicing that tape and putting it together. You know, so skills, skills, skills. You can also be an actor who become a producer and a writer, you know, and also a teacher. Tasha Smith is a great actress. And she owns T-Saw Acting School. And she has a lot of successful actors that come from out of her school. And she's a successful producer as well. And she wears different hats as well. And she's been in Tyler Perry movies as well. See the network, the connection, the union. You know, that's how you have to be. Tasha has even called me up and said, Variety, you must be here to join us. You know, I said, okay, I will. You know, so folks, you know, when you want more money, you have to ask for it. Just ask for it and see if you can have it negotiated. If not, then either you're going to do the movie or you're not going to do it. And I think that's just the situation with Taraji. But I don't feel that a person should just do the film and then turn around and call the employer cheap right after you did the movie and did the production. I mean, didn't Oprah say how much the role was going to be? That's what doesn't make sense. You know, so just try to understand people that there's more than one player in the game. If you're unhappy, try to talk it out and see what you come up with. You know, Tyler Perry is a billionaire. Oprah Winfrey is a billionaire. You know. And they're always working with, you know, African Americans and people of different ethnicities as well. But they do the best they can. They know it's not difficult to put on a play and people get their first break, whatever. You know, Tyler has put on plays and television shows too. So has Oprah. Oprah has done TV movies as well too, and hired Halle Berry. You know, so she's always trying to keep our people working as well. You know. So there's a professional way to be handling our business, but be ethical about it. And I don't feel, you know, you can lash out all you want, but still, at the same time, if you could just sit down and talk to a person and say, hey, this is what I'm feeling, then saying that they're no good or sellouts or whatever. Sometimes we have to talk it out and say, you know, this is where I'm at, you know. How much did Quincy Jones pay Oprah Winfrey when she did The Color Purple? Does anyone know? You know? And she was, you know, big as her on her television show, you know. So there's just different dynamics to consider. And if Taraji wants to quit, then maybe it's the best thing for her. But the world is not going to stop spinning because there's going to be someone new come along. And I did see the poster of The Color Purple. And I noticed on the poster that Fantasia stood out more than Taraji did as well. So I don't know if that brought on any conflict, but it looked like more like Fantasia was more of the star on the poster and Taraji was more like the co-star, you know. But Fantasia is a singer. So she had acting and singing ability. And obviously that's what they wanted. I haven't seen the new Color Purple. You know, but the first Color Purple has singing as well too. You know, and Fantasia is a beautiful woman. Beautiful chocolate drop like myself. She's a beautiful sister, full of lips. You know, she's very, very, very elegant. Very elegant. I always liked Fantasia when she first came out. She was a single mother. You know, she had dropped out of high school. Then she went back to school and got her high school diploma. You know, she always seemed so humble and everything. I like her, you know. She's married now, have a beautiful family and everything, you know. But sometimes you just have to just negotiate more people and talk to people like you have some sense. You know, and learn more about the business that you're in, you know, because I'm always learning. But anyway, you know, The Empire was a great television show, but I know that Black America was not ready for all that homosexuality, though, that they had going on in that show. They were not ready for that. In fact, they could have left it out, really. But it was a great show to me. I really liked The Empire, you know. I'm a Terrence Howard fan. I just love Terrence Howard. I think Terrence Howard is a great actor. And he said that he was going to retire because he had did a movie. And it was one of the big stars. And he didn't get his pay like he wanted. He got cheated out of $20 million. And that made Terrence want to quit. And I was like, wow, Terrence Howard is quitting. And that made me feel sad, you know, because I love Terrence Howard. I love his acting. He's handsome, too. And I love the way he laughs in his movies, the way he says his words in his movies. I'm just a Terrence Howard fan. He is a great actor. I've been liking him since he's done, like, not really the American Dream, but when he did the movie The Best Man, I really became a fan of his. I just love the way he talks. I like his voice. He has a great voice that really stands out when he's saying his lines and things like that and everything. But hopefully he doesn't retire. He'll keep working too, you know, when he, you know, finds his deals. But maybe you guys just need to find new agencies, you know, that will work better with you, with your pay. Because it's strange though, because the more money you make, the more money they make. So why aren't they working harder for you to get more money? That's what I don't understand. That is strange that they're allowing their top actors to not be paid top dollar. That is weird, you know. And see, on the business side of film production companies in America are tax-exempt entities. Film production companies do not pay taxes. They're exempt from paying taxes. So I don't understand why Taraji is having a tax issue. And see, an actor is considered to be a contractor and a freelancer. So you can be actually responsible for your own taxes, or you can have the film production company take your taxes out of your pay. But from my understanding, I thought that when you make a certain amount of money, like over $1 million or whatever, that you pay like 10% in taxes, not 50%. But the right thing to do if you're unsure about your taxes is to go behind the person that's doing your business for you. Go behind them and then also call the Internal Revenue up. And just talk to them about your account. And ask them, money, how much are we supposed to be paying? Is it 50% or is it 10%? If you're just going to be high up on your ass and you don't just let everything happen and don't call and find out anything, then you will never know. You know, that's what you have to do. You know, and also depends on where you live, too. You know, for taxes sometimes. But for the most part, film production companies are tax exempt from paying taxes, and they also get incentives as well. So I don't know what type of contract Taraji has. It sounds like a recording contract, like from a record label, is what it sounds like. Because record labels, whenever they promote their artists, they get their money back. That's not the same thing in dealing with a film. A film production company is supposed to market and promote their film. They're supposed to have a marketing plan for their movie. Now, if the marketing plan said, okay, I want my actors to do the marketing for me and the promotions and the publicity, then that should be in writing. But that's also separate. Because there's separate pay when you do a movie. When you're a singer, that's separate for singing. When you're doing acting and you have lines, that's separate. Dancing, separate. That's all extra money added on. When you sing, dance, and have lines, those are different roles that you're playing all at one time. And that's extra money. So I don't understand why Taraji have money taken away when she should be having extra money in there. And you only can call some shots if you're an investor in a production, like Will Smith has been. Then you ask for points and so on and so forth. But you don't get paid like that if you're not investing. There's a big difference. You know, so hopefully Taraji will be able to work all this out. And, you know, continue her career. Or, you know, I guess she'll retire. You know, but hopefully she'll be able to work it out. I read today actually that 50 Cent wanted to give her a role on Power. But there's no empire without power. You know, so let's see if she's going to accept his offer on putting her on Power. You know, it was nice to see Empire and Power next to each other. You know, in the lineup, it looked really good. And I love 50 Cent and what he has done. He's come a long way. He has come a long way. He has a great television show. I haven't had the opportunity to watch all his series, but I'm going to have to go get the DVD, actually, and do that. You know, and now, also what I look at is that Taraji obviously was shooting The Color Purple during the strike. And whenever you have a strike for any kind of employment, your money is going to be different. You're not going to be making the same pay you were when there wasn't a strike. But things are different now, because now an actor can receive streaming residuals. So all those years, like someone like Denzel Washington that did movies back in the day, and these streaming companies weren't paying the actors, now they're getting that streaming money. And I heard someone tell me, he said that Denzel said, I'm going to be a billionaire just on streaming. Those are fat checks. You know. So let's see how things turn out. So like I said before, I don't know how Taraji contracts are set up. But they definitely need to be renegotiated, not just on the people that employ her, but they need to be renegotiated because there are new contracts now with SAG and AFTRA and the Writers Guild. You know, there have been major changes. So she can't have the same contract because they have to be changes made now. Now, she was talking about, you know, how can I help people coming behind me? Well, did you march too on the picket line for SAG? I mean, you know, that's helping. Martin Luther King marched as well. And he also died for us. You know, because in the 60s, they were marching up and down the street all in Detroit and everything. People weren't even able to sit on the front of the bus. They had to sit in the back of the bus like in a bird cage. But they were caged off like animals. And now an African-American now be a bus driver. Now they want to pass your ass up at the bus stop. See, people march for you so you have an opportunity to sit in a seat that a white driver was sitting in, so you don't have to sit in the back and be caged off. Now you want to drive the bus all crazy down the damn street, 60 miles per hour, and then pass people up at the bus stop and don't even want to stop and pick up nobody at the damn bus stop. You know, there are people who die for your ass to have a damn job. Then you guys have attitudes on the job and everything. Don't like the passengers or nothing. Some of them so damn mean in California. You know. They don't even wait till you get off the bus. They slamming the doors and stuff. Your legs still all in the door and carrying on. They ready to just take off. They don't care. They don't even look in the rearview mirror. Just disrespectful. You know. But anyway, hopefully Taraji would be able to work this problem out. In fact, she is related to me. She's my cousin. And I haven't seen Taraji since she was like 3 or 4 years old when my mother, Florence Beller, died. I saw her. Her mother brought her over to the house and she was leaving with her after we took a few pictures and stuff. And I haven't seen her since then, so she doesn't even remember me. Plus, I changed my name to Variety. The family also called me Roslyn and Coco as well. So that's that. But anyway, enjoy y'all New Year. Bringing it in. Have a good time. You know, there are a lot of people out here who are going through different things and they're not happy. Fight to be happy. Do what you can to make yourself happy. I realize there are a lot of people who are going through different things, and I talk to people all the time, especially people going through things dealing with homelessness. And I tell them, don't change anything. Keep acting like you still have a home. You know, when you had a home, you bathe, still bathe. When you had a home, you brush your teeth, still brush your teeth. When you had a home, you wash your clothes, still do laundry. Don't change nothing. Keep doing what you were doing. Keep dressing up. Keep changing your clothes every day. You know, use resources. You know, don't let that change anything. Still look good and smell good. Just like you did when you had a home. That don't change anything. Keep doing what you were doing when you had a place. Don't change anything. Keep looking good, smelling good. You know, I know people start going down and being depressed and wearing the same outfit. Change your outfit. And the reason why you should change your outfit and take your baths and shower every day like you did when you had a home, because it makes you feel good. It keeps your mind right. I am a big fan of Cremo bath products, body washes. Oh my goodness. Always get yourself some good smelling body wash. Go to the gym. Find a way to go to the gym. I don't know how other countries have it, but find a way to go to the gym. If they have a free gym or something, you know, so you could take your showers, go to college, take a gym class in college, take showers at the gym in college. You know, there are parks that have recreation centers. They have showers. Continue to treat your circumstances as if you still had a home. Stay clean. Stay smelling good and still look nice anyway. Take your outfit either to the cleaners, to a nice cleaners that, you know, some are free, some are not. Some people have free laundry places to go to. Use them. You know? I'm really big on doing a garden. Because I'm coming, Ghana, Nigeria, and all other countries that I can. And let me tell you what I did last year. For the first time last year, I ate my New Year's Eve meal. Black eyed peas. It's an Asian African culture meal. I ate my black eyed peas, cornbread, and greens, and I had some bacon. For my New Year's Eve prosperity meal. Right after I ate my meal, at 12:30 a.m., a man walked up to me and gave me $100 at 1 o'clock. And then also in June of this year, my marriage made $1 billion in real estate. Even though my husband, Sharon Michael Yibo, there in Nigeria, has not paid me my portion yet of $500 million. I'm entitled to that, boo-boo. 21 years of marriage, I'm entitled to that. Our marriage has been going through some difficult things. But my husband is a lawyer, and I'm a loan document assistant, also known as a paralegal. So what he know, I know as well. I know the law globally, family law, and more. So, um, I just want to say that stay on top of things. You know, stay on top of things. Stay connected. You know, so don't give up, but stay connected. And I'm going to get me a money tree this year. I love the Asian culture. You guys who have homes, plant gardens, like they say, plant a seed and the seed will harvest. Plant gardens in your backyard. Go on Amazon.com and buy the books for Foods That Heal. And I'm sure they have books that food that kill too. But Foods That Heal books. Plant gardens. And also buy a book called Encyclopedia, Eat for Your Blood Type. You do that, and if you don't know what your blood type is, you can go online and find out by purchasing a blood type tester. And Dr. Amano has that on his website. I eat for my blood type, and I have to mainly eat fish. And let me tell you, nothing ever happens to me. I do not have bad reactions like I did when I was eating other foods. It's the best thing for you. Drink your alkaline 9.5 water as well, too. Take your vitamins. See, the body works as a system. You want to eat all the right foods, drink all the right waters, eat your vitamins. Take vitamins that make your eyes better, like vitamin A, D, and C. You know, you want to plant your gardens with your seeds for vegetables, your fruits as well. And take your vitamins. Eat the right kind of herbs as well. You can do it on a plant form or do it in a bottle, diced up. But eat foods that heal the body. There's a lot of herbs that can heal you, because you have to remember, medication stays in the body and never leaves the body. Medication gets into your bloodstream, your blood cells, your muscles, your bones, so on and so forth, and they have side effects. Herbs do not have side effects, and you cannot OD on herbs like you can medication. You can heal yourself. You want to drink a water like alkaline 9.5 water to detox the body. And then you want to replenish that detox with something like a mountain spring water to put it back in the body. It's like yin and yang. Pull out, detox, and replenish. Put back in. Stay in prayer, meditation. As we get older, we need to stretch. Those of you who might have achy legs or knees, I use Vicks Vapor Rub on my legs and knees. And I have this one tube that has lavender and tea tree oil on it. And peppermint. You can use all those oils on your legs. And it helps the swelling to go down as well. And also, don't forget your charcoal powder. Charcoal powder is good for brushing your teeth, and it's also good for detoxing the body as well. And it pulls out all type of detox in the body. I know people who had stomach cancer, and they did the alkaline water and the charcoal together, and this lady continued to live. She didn't die. I'm no doctor, but that was her experience. So, because charcoal can fertilize a football field just with two teaspoons. So what you think it's going to do to your body? Detox it and clean it up. And that's what we all want, and that's what we all need. You know, so we have, I wanted to say this before I go, that I read about how the African countries are not doing well financially. My goal now is to help Africa in any way I can. You know, currency-wise, planting gardens, so on and so forth. That's what I want to do for Africa. I want to plant fruit trees. I want to plant all foods that heal. I want to come to Africa and I want to clean up the waters in Africa with cilantro. Cilantro is a plant, an herb that cleans the water. There's some other plants that cleans the water and remove bacteria from water. So I want to get a whole bunch of cilantro seeds or cilantro plants and put them in the water so it can dissolve the bacteria in the water so it can be crystal clear and pretty. That's my goal for Africa, you know, because I'm going to touch base with my husband again, Shadrach Michael Yebo, the owner of White Deck Beach Resort Hotel. And a whole lot of real estate, over 50 blocks of real estate in Nigeria. We own that together, but you know, we haven't been together in a minute, but we're not legally separated either. With making $1 billion, we can take care of these tribes globally. You know, we can't just have one Nigerian. A billionaire. There are a whole lot of billionaires in Nigeria. But it's time for a new system worldwide. And that system needs to be increase of money. And what I mean by that is we need to start new currencies among each other. You start your currency, I start my currency. You use your currency to buy something, I use your currency to buy something. You use my currency, I use your currency to buy something. And we put them on the stock exchange so we can increase money globally together and everyone be able to use each other's money like they've been doing, but really use it. No matter where we are, we all accept each other's money. In our retail stores and everything. We need to try that and see how it works. It's like they do in Canada and in Europe. They'll have the euro and the dollar. So we can expand that and use each other's monies. Then we can create wealth and increase it. You know? And that's just fiat currency, the paper money. But, you know, we still have the gold and so on and so forth. The system needs to change. The system needs to change in America. Because the American system is confederate. And we need to get rid of the confederate system. That needs to be abolished. My uncle Ulysses Grant, who was the 16th president of the United States of America. And that Confederate system, he was trying to abolish that. He did for a while, but then they came back again. And we need to get rid of that Confederate system because it just doesn't fucking work. We need a new government. You know, people have been saying they Cherokee for years, Native American Indians, but they won't give the dark-skinned African Native Americans any money. And I find that hard to believe for people to continue to say we're straight Native American. I don't believe it because I met one of the grandsons of Queen Elizabeth. So what'd that tell you? Well, my DNA ancestry. Ain't nobody pure, Bo. Okay, what you say? Ain't nobody pure. Not like that. Ain't no straight. I don't think it's not that rare. There's no straight blue blood like that anymore. You know. Because you have other cultures saying that they're Native Americans. And they can become Native Americans through marriage and adoption. You know. So, we need to abolish that system because we are all entitled to that. And including the reparations that they've been waiting for many years now. You know. So, we need to clean up this system we have over here. It doesn't make any damn sense. You know, all this stuff still built on color and complexion. This doesn't make any sense. You know. So hopefully all of this will get taken care of soon. Anyways, I'm gonna end this podcast. And this podcast, I might as well just call this podcast The Fruit to Prosperity. Plant your seed, let it harvest. Segment. Yep. And ask and it shall be given. You're not being paid enough money, ask for it. And if you don't get it, guess what? There are a lot of people who quit their jobs. They became entrepreneurs instead. Then you call it shots on how much you want to make. Because then you have that plan set up. Well, how much you want to make and charge people for your services. Okay. All right, now, this is Variety Shunavar for Akashi Media Podcast Live. Giving you a commentary on wealth, acting, actors in demand of their money, eating healthy, planting the seeds to harvest, and building your own gardens if you can. And also to have a happy new year. Have a safe, happy New Year Eve as well. Buy your money trees. Pray and meditate. Keep believing in yourself as well. Thank you. Till next time.